Blog Talk Radio.
Because God's trying to tell you I'm going to do it this week. Run, mama, run. That's it. Prophesy. I got to preach. I ain't got a whole lot of time. But will you push your name and tell them God said he's going to do it this week? God said he's going to do it this week. Okay, y'all. Come on, get your Bible. Let's turn our attention to the screen. I don't have a whole lot of time. If you was going to shout, you should have shouted by now. Come on. Come on, Tyra Hill. I got to get out of here. I got 18 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. I just got a conviction in my spirit that the longer it takes me to praise, the longer it takes God to do what I asked him to do. But if I praise God quick, I believe God going to respond. See, some of y'all still waiting on your flesh. You still waiting on your mind to catch up with your spirit. You got to make your... You got to call your mind subject to your spirit. I don't care what it looks like. The man of God said it's going to happen this week. If God didn't want you to hear it, he'd have let you overslap. You in the room because God wanted you to hear me say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it this week. Come on. I'm going to do it this week. Talking, that's okay. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing then. Just stand up in here and look cute. Don't say nothing. You're going to have to wait another week, but I'm decreeing and declaring what I've been waiting on God to do, it's going to happen. Push your neighbor, tell him you better say something or get off my road. You better say something. God's going to do it. Come on. Hebrews. Y'all so rebellious. Sit down, please. Sit down. Come on, tell your friend to sit down. You didn't wait it this long. You can wait another week. You can wait to June. You didn't wait it this long. Just you ain't in no rush. You ain't. I got some demons I need God to kill this week. I got some devils I need God to deal with. Somebody said before I leave this building, I got some... Y'all all in my time, but I need somebody to scream like by the time you get in your car. Y'all excuse me, but I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody praise him. I feel that in my spirit. By the time you get in your car. Whatever you want to do, Jesus. However you want to fix it, Lord. Yeah. Ah, Lord. Ah, Lord. Come on, let's go. I feel churchy and I got to preach some of y'all. Some of y'all don't need a breakthrough. You just came to get a word. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but it's about 326 of y'all that say, I need a breakthrough. come on, get your Bible. You need a... Get your Bible.
Draw me nearer. Blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, who's gonna sing it? Oh, that you made some mistakes, and the blood has washed away. Someone ought to give God a shout.
Jesus, none other than Zacardi Cortez and James Fortune. Listen, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God, what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited that you guys tuned in, partnered up to listen in with us this morning, and we're just thankful, we're hippopotamus happy and elephant glad that you guys decided to stop by and listen in on the Worldwide Gospel Connection on this morning. Listen, as always, you know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we get started, let us go into effectual fervent prayer, and then we're going to go into our scripture, and then we're going to share our broadcast listeners. We're going to share those broadcast listeners that are listening in across this great country of ours. Let us go into effectual fervent prayer. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Father God, to come into your presence, Lord God. God, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are under the sound of our voice. God, we thank you right now for your loving kindness and your tender mercies that is extended to us on every day. So, Father, we want to say thank you just for being God and being God all by yourself. God, we are so grateful, Father God. God, that you touched us this morning with your finger of love. God, you closed us in our right mind. God, you encouraged our heart. God, you strengthened our spirit. God, you gave us the ability to keep on going. Father, we thank you for speaking life into us, God, on this morning. No one else could have did it but you, God. So we're just grateful, God, and we say thank you in advance for all that you do. God, we are just elated, God, that you would just come, God, and just show us love on this morning. We pray for those that are under the sound of our voices on this morning. We pray, God, that you would touch them, God. God, over whatever issues, God, they're dealing with, whatever problems, whatever circumstances or situations is going on in their lives right now. Father, we pray today, God, God, that you would touch them with the finger of love. God, give them the understanding, oh God. God, that all things are working together for their good and that you are God, Father, and you are God all by yourself. You can wipe away the tears from their eyes. God, you'll give them beauty for their ashes. God, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God, and pick them up from their muck and mire clay. God, strengthen them from that broken place and let them know, God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself and beside you there is no other. So, God, we thank you in advance, God, for doing what you do best, and that is be God and be big in our life. And for that, we give your name praise, glory, honor, and dominion. And we say thank you, Father. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. The body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. Our focus scripture for this morning is coming from the book of Psalms, the 77th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Again, that's the book of Psalms, the 77th chapter, verses 11 through 12. Simply says this, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely, I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doing. I'm going to read that again. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doing. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the receivers of his great word. Now we want to make sure that we acknowledge all those great countries, all of you guys that are listening in from across the country, those of you that are listening in right here in the United States. Remember, you guys share that number. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. You can do so by going ahead on and texting this number. It's 563-999-3628. That number again is 563-999-3628. You guys press 1, and when you press that 1 button, that acknowledges and let us know that you guys want to have prayer, or you guys just want to share how the broadcast is blessing you. We'll be glad to open up that floor for you to do that. Now, remember, guys, we have our friend and our brother and the great man of God, none other than Apostle Anthony Simmons, will be with us on this morning on our Man Up broadcast. We're just excited about what the man of God is going to say this morning. Remember, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air, and our brother and our friend, Apostle Anthony Simmons, will be with us this morning. Remember, that number again is 563-999-3628. Press 1, and we will be glad to pray with you, or just you want to just share your testimony, or maybe you even just want to share how the radio broadcast is blessing you. Either way, we'll be glad to have you come on in and share with us on this morning. Now, those countries that are listening in this morning, we want to say thank you again. As always, we're just excited about what God is doing. Now, listen, some of these countries, the guys that are listening in, and I share this. This is my little soapbox moment that I call it. Some of these countries that are listening in, God, we have to realize we worshiped yesterday, all day yesterday. We went in, we had our Lady Douglas had preached Sunday morning. Then we went and we had our service at 3 o'clock, and we churched to yesterday. There are some countries that are listening under the sound of our voice right now that, watch this here, if they even confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they can be executed in the streets. Watch this here. If they are found with a Bible in their possession in these other countries, watch what happens. They would be drugged into the streets. Some of the children are sold into slavery. They themselves are turned into indented slaves to someone. Because, watch this here, because they confess Jesus Christ. And they're under constant scrutiny because they share this gospel of Jesus Christ. We here on the United States Star, we don't have to wrestle with that issue. But I thank God that we're able to come into the homes and into the earways of those that are listening in. And we want to say we're praying for you because we understand that the enemy's plan, the enemy's plot, watch this here, is to come in and to destroy you and keep you from moving forward and keep you from praising God. But we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. We want you to know that you're not in this by yourself. We are praying for you. We're praying with you because we understand, watch this here, that the enemy will want you to just throw it in the towel and lay it all down. But know that even in your trials and in your tests, God is right there. He will be there for you. He will cover you. He will keep you. He will protect you. We're praying for those taskmasters that's over you, that they will change their heart, that God will change their mindset, will change their intentions from being those that will be the ones that will go out and execute. Instead of doing that, they'll go out and evangelize. So we thank God also for all of the evangelists that's across this great country that are in those rural places and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of our missionaries and apostles that are established in these churches all over the country, we're praying for you. All of you guys that have put your hand to the plow and you will not take down. We're praying for you because we know that your job is not an easy job. It's not an easy job and it's not an easy place. But we know that you have the strength to go on, to carry on, to do what God has called you to do. So we thank God for you. We thank God for you. We're constantly praying your strength. We're constantly praying God's covering. We're constantly praying God's grace over your life. And know that your work that you're doing out there in those trenches are not in vain. There are those that are waiting on you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to say thank you for that. We want to say thank you for that and know that you're not in this one by yourself. Amen. So that's my soapbox moment. So we're going to go ahead and acknowledge those countries that are listening in. We have the United States. We have Canada. We have Brazil. We have Ghana. We have Guyana. We have Kenya. We have Zimbabwe. We have South Africa. We have Jamaica. We have Saudi Arabia. We have China. We have Hong Kong. We have Germany. We have Bulgaria. We have Russia. We have Mexico. We have the United Kingdom. We have Paris, France. We have Japan. We have South Korea. We have Ireland. We have India. We have Portugal. And we have the Netherlands. And we want to say thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Again, thank you so much. And we know that it's not easy. But watch this here. In it not being easy, know that God's hand is on your life. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or see. We just got to learn how to trust him beyond what we see. We got to learn how to trust him beyond what we see. And I understand, trust me, believe me, I understand it is not easy. It is not easy. But he is able to do just what he said he's going to do. He's going to keep you in perfect peace if your mind stayed on him. Amen? Amen. Listen, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
darkness to die. Hey.
And as you see,
you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never left this one behind. Out of all the things I've done, you still saw fit to love me. Out of the mess I created, you still saw fit to bless me. I don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, I don't.
Amen, 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 amen. Cross movement, amen. Listen, let us go into effectual fervent prayer. Touch and agree with me on this morning. We want to cover, I'm not going to go into detail. But let us pray. God gave us this platform for a reason, and we thank God for the platform that he gives us and the ability to do what we do. So allow us, trust the God in us, to touch and agree with us in effectual fervent prayer, that as we go into this next phase, this next transition that we go into, let us pray and just cover individuals in our life. It is a difficult place for a lot of people today. It's a difficult place for a lot of people, but we understand. Listen, understand this: that God is yet in control. He is not as able, but well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So when we learn how to trust in him, and the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Watch this here. He also backdoors it and tells you some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we shall trust in the name of the Lord. And then he gives us another scripture that says the Lord's name is a high tower, and they that run in are safe. And then he gives you Psalms 91:1, and it talks about how God is a pavilion, and he said that he is a keeper. Now watch this here. If we learn that we take those scriptures and then we add our faith to it, the Bible says, God help me right through him, the Bible says it like this. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We have to learn how to look into our future and look into our place where we are and know that God is not only able, but he is well able, and that he will do just what he said he's going to do. Only thing we have to do is learn how to do this. Watch what we have to learn how to do. We have to learn how to trust in God, even though our circumstances may not be ideal. They may not always fit what we need to fit. It may not always come together like we needed to come together. But watch what God will do. God is so faithful in who he is and what he can do and why he does what he does. God is so faithful that he will wipe away the tears from our eyes. But we have to learn how to put our trust in him. God help me right up in this section right here. Our trust must go beyond our condition. Our trust must go beyond, watch here, everything that we see. Our trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. One of the most important things that we got to learn in the thing that God has placed us in the place that God has placed us in is that we have to trust him, even though we may not know how it's going to end, even though we may not know how that thing is going to play out. We don't know how God will move, but what's our faith? We trust in him beyond what we see. Sometimes you got to trust God when you can't trace him. Watch this here. There have been some people in the Bible. We can go head on and we can pull some names out of the Bible where they had to trust God. The children of Israel had to trust God. Watch this here. Joseph had to trust God. David had to trust God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to trust God. Even though they did not know what their end was going to be, they still took the stand. Come here and let me bless you till you're blessed. Place, push you to your purpose and drive you to your destiny. God had to put some things in play and in place for us to understand that even though our condition may not be lining up like we want it to, God is still in control. We're going to pray in a minute, but I feel like somebody needs to be encouraged this morning that even though our conditions and our circumstances and our situation may not look like we want it, they don't feel good, they don't sound good, they don't look good, but at the end of the day, it will work for your good. Oh my God, I felt that thing. At the end of the day, it will work for your good. All things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. We have to learn that even though our condition and circumstances may be the thing that is pushing us into our corner, pushing us into, watch this here, sometimes pushing us into isolation. But watch this here. Some people going to get mad. Some people not going to understand. Some people may be upset with me, but that's okay. Y'all gonna be all right. I'm gonna help you though. Watch this here. Sometimes those things push you into those isolated places so God could talk to you. God put, oh Lord, help me right up in here. Sometimes God will allow you to get pushed in those places so you can get a little bit closer to him, so he can watch this here, so you can stay on your knees and you can keep on calling on the name of the Lord and keep on talking to him, even though your condition and your circumstances may not even be the thing that you think they should be. You might not be financially where you need to be. People that turn their back on you. Folks that talk about you, lies, scandalize your name, called you everything except a child of God. But watch this here. You still got to learn how to trust in God, because at the end of the day, it ain't them that he worried about. It's you. You come here. Let me help you. You got to understand that he looks at you and see you in that condition, and he knows you. He watches this. Israel and New Breed sung a song. He knows my name. He know who I am. He say, I am a friend of God. He know me. He got my name. My name is on his lips. Your name is on his lips. Watch this. You have to learn how to trust him, even though everybody is not for you. It's okay that everybody's not for you. It's okay that everybody ain't with you. It's okay that people won't leave you and do what they gonna do. It's okay. God is still working that thing out for you. He has everything in place. And he's making that thing work for your good. Lean on God. Man, help these people this morning. There's an old song that they used to sing back in the day. The woman of God, Juanita Bynum, stood up and she sung that song and it blessed me. And I was like, my God. I said, this thing really moved me. He said, learning to lean on Jesus, gaining more power, oh my God, than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. When you learn how to lean on Jesus, I know, trust me, understand, believe, and put this in your repertoire. File this into your firebox in your head. I know that sometimes it's hard to lean because, watch the tip, you already leaning. But see, when you learn how to lean on the right thing, come on here, preacher, help them this morning. When you learn how to lean on the right thing, when you learn how to lean in the right place, when you learn how to lean on the right people, when you learn how to come here and let me bless you to your blessed place, push you to your purpose and drive you to your destiny. When you learn how to lean on the right foot with the right agendas and the right mindset, come here and let me show you something. God will do the exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Come here. Get a cup of coffee. Sit down. Get you a glass of lemonade, a glass of juice, a glass of whatever you want to drink this morning, a glass of water. Watch this here. God will do it for you. But we have to learn how to sit in his presence and let him do what he does best, and that is be God and be God all by himself. Broken, yes. Battered, yes. Abused, yes. Sometimes left for dead. Let me help you. Sometimes dead to some things. But can I help you? Let me help you real quick. Let me help you real quick. Let me help you real quick. And I know this is going to make some folk mad, but it's okay. I think I need to make you mad so you can see the real, so you can see the situation and see it for what it really is. Sometimes God wants you to be dead. God, help me right up in here. I'm going to get in the world or so, but that's okay. Sometimes God wants you dead to your situation. Sometimes God wants you dead to the things that people have done to you. Sometimes God wants you dead. Come here. Sometimes God wants you dead to the hurt and to the pain. Because watch this, if you die to that, you can live in him. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. If you die to this stuff that was meant to kill you, if you die to the stuff that was meant to come against your life, if you learn how to die to it, if you watch the tip, be like the duck and let the water just roll off your back. If come here, if you don't give them, God help me right through here, if you don't give them, watch here, a response. Yeah, God, I hear you. If you don't give them a response, if you don't give them an inkling of an inkling of an inkling of an inkling of an inkling, come here, of an inkling, inkling, of an inkling, of an inkling, 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 that has bothered you. Watch this. Watch how far they start to bag up. They'll realize that the devices that they brought against your life, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And then watch this. The scripture says that it's him. He said that your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down the strongholds. See, if we learn how to bring our weapons out, Jesus, you're going to get me in trouble now, but that's okay. I like getting in this kind of trouble. This is where I thrive at right here in this section right here. Watch this. If we learn how to pull out our weapons when it's time for warfare. When we learn how, my shando rande de sando batai, rokotamansi, if we learn how to pull out our weapons of warfare when it's time, see, we got to learn how to get into the presence of the Lord and stop worrying about all the stuff that we see and stop worrying about how people talking about us and running our name through the mud. Get you a real good and firm relationship with God. Start getting in your on your faith. Start talking to the Lord about everything and all things. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. If you learn how to get in God's faith and stop getting in the other, come here and let me show you how to get yourself all out of whack, from getting all out of whack. Let me help you get yourself together. Let me help you unwind all of that twine that's wrapped around you. Watch this. If you learn how to get into the face of God and stop getting in the face of folk, stop, oh God, stop depending on people and start depending on God. For he is able, if you learn how to just put yourself in the place of letting God be God and the devil be a lie. We know it's not easily said as it is done. Watch this here. We know that it could be worse than what it really is. We know that the tears are real. We know that the hurt and the pain is for sure enough definite. But watch this here. So is the God that you serve. He's real, real. The God that you serve is real, real. He's real. We used to sing this song. He's real, for I can feel him in my soul. I know that he's real. If we learn how to get into that place to where we understand that he's real, real. He's real, real. This ain't no game. This ain't no playtime. God is real. And if we learn how to be, watch this here. If we learn how to trust him for real, for real. We read Psalm 77, 1 and 2. And it talked about, I shall surely remember the wonders of old. Sometimes we just got to go back and pull God's resume up. Oh, my God, how he kept you in perfect peace. How he brought you out the last time. If you ever just get to the point to where you just start pulling God's resume out. Because, see, watch here. Whether you want to believe it or not, the enemy pulls his resume out on you every day. You don't believe it? Watch yourself. Why do you think that you be feeling like you be feeling? Why do you think that you be experiencing some of the stuff that you're experiencing? That's because he's bringing out his resume. He'll bring out the thing that happened to you in the last season that you were in. He'll bring things out. Watch that happened to you 10, 15 years ago. He'll bring things out that happened to you in your last marriage. He'll bring things that happened to you out in your last relationship. He'll bring things out that happened to you when you were 4 or 5 years old. He'll bring back things to you. Come on here. He'll bring back his resume, and he'll present his resume before your face every day. So why would you not pull God's resume out and show him? Well, you know you almost died right here. You say, but you look at it, but you pull out that resume and say, you know what? But God was a keeper. Watch this. You should have lost your mind right here. Yeah, I should have lost my mind, but God is a mind regulator. Come on here. Watch this. That last relationship which you was in, that last relationship almost killed you. Watch this. You pull out your resume and you tell him, yeah, it almost killed me, but God kept me in perfect peace. You got to learn how to battle. Come here. Your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. If you come here and sit real close to me and let me help you real good, let me show you what you need to see when it comes to God. God will do what you need him to do. You just got to learn how to trust him in it. In this thing that you're in this season that you're in this place that you're in this life that you're in. Yeah, I get it. Trust me. Listen to me real close. I get it. I am a product of my environment. I'm a product of my environment. But because the God that I serve is greater than the product of my environment, He puts into us a switch. God, listen, God showed me this probably about maybe 2 years ago. God showed me about this about 2 years ago. God puts inside of us a switch. And the crazy part about it is, it is not up to God to flip this switch. It's up to us to flip this switch. I say, God, why wouldn't you flip the switch? He said, because it's not my job to flip the switch, it's yours. He said, if I did it, you wouldn't realize that you could do it. I said, well, what's the switch, God? What is the switch? He said, switch your mind from where you are. He said, look toward the hills which come at your help, and your help comes from the Lord. Know that even in this, I am in control. Know that even in the storms and in the rain and the upside and the downside, the in-between side, the hurt side, the problem side, all of that stuff that you got going on, if you flip the switch for yourself, watch what God will show you. God will show you that even when your condition did not line up like you wanted your condition to line up, he said, I am still in control. That part right there. Listen, that was a point in my life. Let me help y'all real quick, and I promise y'all I'm not going to be too much longer. I'm going to get off him. There was a point in my life where I cried myself to sleep. There was a point in my life where I cried myself to sleep. I was in depression. I was broken. I was hurt. I was angry. I was disappointed. I was everything that you could think of. I was in my feelings and I was in my place of brokenness. But watch what God began to show me. Even though I'm in my broken place, watch God. Even though I'm in my broken place, God still saw fit to use me in my broken place. I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now. Because if I were to stop moving in my broken place, I wouldn't be in the place that I'm in right now. If I wouldn't have never flipped my switch. If I wouldn't have never flipped my switch. If I wouldn't have never, listen to me. If I wouldn't have never flipped my switch, I would be in the same condition that I was in. I sat there and I said to myself, I said, God, I said, I am tired. He said, I know you're tired. He said, I know you're tired. He said, I know. He said, I know. He said, but watch this here. I am your strength in your place, in your time of weakness. When you just want to just say, I don't want to do this no more. When you just want to say, I don't want to fool with this no more. When you say, I don't have that kind of strength no more. God will show up. And when he show up, he'll tell you, you know what? Today is a good day just to trust me for who I am. Today is a good day just to trust me for who I am. Beaten, battered, and bruised.
I got you. Learn how to flip your switch. What is your switch? I'm so glad you asked. Y'all asked some of the best questions on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Watch what your switch is. Your switch is your prayer. Learn how to pray about it. We'll show you something real quick. Pray about it. Be about it. And trust God through it. I'm going to say that again. Pray about it. Be about it. And trust God through it. When you pray, learn to pray and talk to God. Leave it at his feet. Be about it. Leave it at his feet. Be about it. And then after you leave it at his feet, watch what you do. You get up, you dust yourself off, and you move forward. I know it's complicated. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know that sometimes the tears fall greater than what we expect, and sometimes the tears fall more frequently than we expect. But watch what God is able to do. God is able to step into your condition and give you strength in it. Believe and trust and know I understand. Because it's not always easy to bounce back from a broken place. It's not always easy to bounce back from a destroyed place. It's not always easy to bounce back. Come here, Job. Help him out real quick. Job lost everything. The respect of friends, the love of his wife, his children, his finances. Job was down to nothing. How do you know? They said that Job was sitting with boils all over his body and scratching himself with a pot scratcher to ease his boils on his body. But it get real good about Job 42, around about that third or fourth verse, and it begins to talk about how when Job prayed for his friends, and when he prayed for his friends, things shifted for him. If we learn the effects of prayer, the acts of prayer, and learn how to operate in prayer, God will shift some things for us. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we lift up those that are under the sound of our voice on this morning. Father, we realize that the situations and circumstances, Lord God, that come into the lives of those that we love and that we care about. Father, that you are a hearer of those who go into prayer to cover, keep, and protect them. God, you will move by your power and by your strength, and you will speak life to them. God, you will turn the very situation for them. So, Father, we come thanking you right now in advance that the mindset that we have, God, in the place of prayer, in the place of trusting you, in the place of getting things together, God, that you are able to do what you said that you are able to do. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be able to work in this place and in this thing and in this mindset and in this place that, God, where the enemy wants to come in, God. God, and cause us to want to throw in the towel and give up. But God, because you love us so much, God, you move by your power and by your strength. God, we lift up those that are sick among us, oh God, the ones that are dealing with issues in their bodies, God, even in their minds and in their spirits. God, we lift them up to you. Father, we pray that you would move, God, like only you know how. God, set the atmosphere straight for them. God, give them to know, God, that your will and your way is working for their good. And that in the midst of the turbulence, yes, God, in the midst of the rain, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the tears that roll down their faces, God, you are working this thing out for their good. You're giving them the ability to not only just stand, but to be able to withstand every thing in every place where the enemy had came in, God, and wreaked havoc and caused them to want to throw in the towel and say, I am done. I am finished. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to run this race no more. I don't want to be in this place anymore. I give up. I give in. But God, we thank you in advance. We thank you in advance, Lord. We thank you in advance for just doing what you do best, and that is be God and be big in their life. Thank you for turning the tide and making it work for them, giving them the ability to see the thing as you see it, giving them the ability to see the enemy as you told us to see it in the scripture. You say, see him. That's the devil. That's the enemy. See him as a falling star or fallen angel that has fallen from grace, fallen from his place of power, fallen from his place of strength. Thank you for letting us be able to identify, God, that you are God and you are God all by yourself. And besides you, Father God, there is no other. We bless, magnify, glorify, and edify who you are in our life. And so we say thank you. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, and your grace that's everlasting. In Jesus' mighty, rich, and infallible name do we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Listen, thank you guys for listening in, so for being a part of today's broadcast. We are so excited about what God is doing and what he is saying in this hour. We want to continue to lift up those that are dealing with those issues in their bodies. Because the enemy is crafty, ladies and gentlemen. Let me help you real quick. Let me give you some strength real quick. The enemy is crafty. And don't get me wrong. I'm not glorifying the enemy. I'm not giving him no accolades. I'm not patting him on the back. I'm not saying that he's doing a good job. That's not what I'm saying. You know, but he is doing his job. He is doing his job. And that knowing that all that we have to do is just put our trust in him. And when we do that, we have to know that he is still God, and he is still God all by himself. And he is able to wipe our tears away. He is able to wipe our tears away. He is able to wipe our tears away. I'm going to say that again. He is able to wipe our tears away. We just got to learn how to put everything that is us into his hands, and he'll do it. Amen? Amen. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Somebody lift your voice and just worship. Just lift your voice and worship. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice and worship. Oh, the Spirit of God is moving on those who worship. Thank you. Somebody just wave those hands. We just honor your presence today. We just honor your presence tonight, Holy Spirit. That's all we really want, Lord, is just to be where you are. Just to be in your presence. We honor you. Praise is what I do. When I wanna be close to you, I lift my hands in praise. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times, and I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I praise you whether happy or sad. This is my testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said why. I said, because praise is what I do.
I thank you in advance for you doing that which you do best. So show up and show out. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. Gospel according to St. Mark quickly. Gospel according to St. Mark quickly. Chapter number 8. Hallelujah. St. Mark chapter number 8. I'm an expository preacher. In other words, I like to do directly with the text. Upon my completion of exegeting the text to the best of my ability, I go to my seat. I would that everyone stand in reverence to the reading of the word. It's indeed my custom that whenever the word is read, we stand. And there's a reason why we stand, family. The reason why we stand is because when a judge walks in the door, you have to stand in reverence of his or her office. And if you don't stand in reverence of their office, you can be found in contempt of court, fined, and or thrown in jail. And I just believe if I can stand for somebody who didn't die so that I can live, you ought to be able to stand for the word of God for at least a few moments. The only ones that should be sitting there are those who are physically unable to stand. I would that you would reverence the word of God with me. We're reading from the King James Version. Gospel according to St. Mark chapter number 8, verse 22. When you get there, just holler at me. Say, I got it. Know what it says. It says, and he cometh to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon him again and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Let's look at that again. The text says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. And the text declares, and when he had spit in his eyes, put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon him again and made him look up. And he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I just want to look at something real quick, because the text says something extremely profound, I think, that we need to examine for a few moments. The writer says that he came to a particular city by the name of Bethsaida, and when he got there, that they brought a blind man unto Jesus. And the first thing Jesus does is he takes him out of town and he spits in the man's face. After spitting in the man's face, he lays hands on him and asks him, what did he see? The man responded, I see men as trees walking. But then the Bible says he lays hands on him again and he saw every man clearly. Y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind guy that they brought to Jesus, and the reason why they brought him to Jesus is because they wanted Jesus to touch him. The Bible says that Jesus reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out the city. When he gets him out the city, he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, asks him, what did he see? He responds, I see men as trees walking. But then the text says he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. Y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind bro that they brought to Jesus. And the reason why they wanted him to, brought him to Jesus is because they wanted Jesus to touch him. The Bible says that Jesus reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out the city. When he gets him out the city, he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, asks him a crazy question. He says, what do you see? The Bible says, I see men as trees walking. But then the text declares that he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. Last time, y'all missed it one more time. There was this blind dude that they brought to Jesus. And the reason why they brought him to Jesus, because they wanted Jesus to touch him. And the Bible says that the first thing Jesus does, reaches out, takes him out of the hand, leads him out of the city. When he gets him out of the city, he spits in the man's face and then lays hands on him, asks him a very simple question. He says, what do you see? The man declares, he says, I see men as trees walking. But then the text declares that he lays hands on him again, and he saw every man clearly. If I could, I just want to talk to you from this particular thought. Just touch somebody, look him in the face, and tell them, he's adjusting my vision. That's what I want to talk about tonight. Just touch your neighbor and say, he's adjusting my vision. Some of y'all still looking at me. Before you take your seat, touch your neighbor again. Tell him, say, he is adjusting my vision. Now, he's adjusting. My vision. You may be seeing the presence of the Lord today. He's adjusting my vision. Understand you here, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, all of you who are a part of the household of faith, indeed, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has in her turn made us all heirs and again joining us. I have often heard, Bishop Van, I've often heard and argued, if you will, that reality is not an absolute. I've often heard it argued, Bishop Van, that reality, that it isn't an absolute. That each of us, as individuals, that we have our own perception, if you will, of reality. The implication, beloved brothers and sisters, is that because each of us, as individuals, perceive the world through our own eyes, that reality itself changes from person to person. While it is true, family, that reality is a perception of each and every individual, that we all perceive reality differently, we need to understand that reality could literally care less about our individual perceptions. The reason why I can care less about our individual perceptions is because reality does not change, if you will, to adapt to our personal viewpoints. The fact of the matter is that reality is what it is. Reality is fact. Reality is truth. However, reality, beloved brothers and sisters, is not always known. And because reality is not always known, that is where perception of reality comes in. While reality, without question, is a fixed factor in the equation of life, it is important that we understand that perception of reality is a variable. This is why it is so very important that we begin to learn to differentiate between a principle and an opinion. Just tell somebody he's going somewhere. The most significant aspect, if you will, of a principle is that it is neither, that it can neither be created nor can it be altered. Thus, beloved brothers and sisters, a principle is the very essence of reality. It is what it is. And it is up to us as individuals to learn how to discover, if you will, or to learn to discover what that principle actually is. The problem, however, arises when we as people refuse to accept the reality that the principle can only be discovered. Instead, we choose to believe that we can create our own principles, which means that we believe that we can create our own realities. And that is a belief, beloved brothers and sisters, that can lead to a disastrous consequences and also can lead to major error. You all are sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, why in the world is he discussing, if you will, reality versus principle? Why is he arguing, if you will, principle versus opinion? What does that have to do with the scriptural text that he is sharing today? Well, it has everything to do with the conversation that we're about to have, beloved brothers and sisters. And the reason why it has everything to do with the conversation is because I believe that this is the problem that is happening in the 21st century church. What I believe, beloved brothers and sisters, is that people are choosing to try to create their own principles rather than to discover the principle of what the Word has revealed that cannot be altered. In other words, family, I believe that the church in this day and time in which we live in, that they are trying to create a perception of God that is not reality. And that is why we are dealing with some of the things that we are dealing with in this 21st century age. It's because we as individuals have made a decision that rather than following the principles that Scripture teaches us that cannot be altered, that we are deciding to come up with our own opinions of His principles. And we decide that we're going to shift things and make them work out for our benefit rather than allowing the Word to do what it does. Y'all looking at me strange, so let me make it perfectly clear. The problem that God has with many of us as 21st century believers is that we're bending the Word to our will rather than us bending our will to His Word. I wish y'all would talk to me for a few moments. So what God is sharing for us to understand most importantly today is that because of the simple fact that we as individuals are coming up with our own principles as it pertains to Scripture, because we as individuals have locked God in the box, and that is the reason why we can't get the breakthroughs that we desire. Because we as individuals have locked God in a box, that's the reason why we can't get the deliverance that we are passionately pursuing. Because the same God that can heal a headache can heal cancer. I can't get no help up in here. So what God is desiring more than anything else to do is he's saying that I'm tired of you all perceiving me the way that you want to see me. So what I have to do in this season of your life is I have to take you through a process of adjustment. And the reason why I got to take you through this process of adjustment, because I need you to see me the way I desire to be seen. Because if you see me the way that I desire to be seen, I will position you so that the rest of your days will be the best of your days. Can I talk to y'all for a few moments? So beloved brothers and sisters, as we begin to look at this particular passage of scripture, it literally begins to expose to us the process of God. And see, herein lies the challenge, family, because many of us struggle with God's process. And the reason why we struggle with the process of God is because of the simple fact that we live in a microwave age. Because we live in a microwave age, we don't want to have to go through how God takes us through process. Because process is something that takes time. And many of us struggle with God taking time. But the reason why God takes the time that he takes is because he wants to make sure and he wants to ensure that when he blesses you with what he desires, that not only are you mature enough to handle it, but that you have the capacity to hold on to it. Can I talk to y'all for a little while? So touch somebody and say, he's taking me through the process. I know you've been wondering why in the world has it not happened as fast as it's supposed to happen. It's because God is trying to do something in your life to make sure that you view him the way he desires to be viewed. So that's what's happening in this text, because when we begin to look at this particular passage of Scripture, Bishop Van, what's so mind-blowing is that the text begins to let us know that there are three central theme figures in this particular passage. Three central theme figures. The first central theme figure in this particular passage of Scripture is known to us by name. His name is Jesus Christ. The second central theme figure in this text is not identified by his name, but he is identified by his disability. The text begins to let us know that he was a blind man. But then the third central theme figure in this text is not one individual, but it's a group of individuals, and it is the individuals that decided to bring the blind man to Jesus. The reason why this is so very important, because let me deal with the last group of individuals. The Bible begins to let us know that there was a group of individuals that decided, watch this, to bring this blind man to Jesus. Now, the Bible says nothing to us about this particular group of individuals. It does not identify each individual by name, but it does say that they brought the blind man to Jesus. Let me pause here for a minute, because it doesn't tell us if they liked the blind man. It doesn't tell us if they was concerned about the blind man. It doesn't tell us anything about that. It just says that they brought the blind man to Jesus. So we can assume one or two things. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they loved him. We can assume they brought the blind man to Jesus because they cared about him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was concerned about him. Or we can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they were sick of him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was tired of enabling him. We can assume that they brought the blind man to Jesus because they was tired of trying to help him. The emphasis here is not why they brought him, but the exciting thing is that they brought him. The reason why that's so important is because this is Fab Five Sunday. And I want you to understand that everybody that brought you here didn't bring you here because they was concerned about you. Somebody brought you here because they were sick of you. But it don't make no difference why they brought you. You ought to just be glad that they brought you. So the Bible begins to tell me, I'm going to get to your song in a minute. I promise you I'm going to get to your song before the day is over with. So the Bible begins to tell us something extremely profound. Walk with me in the text. First Lady, the Bible says that they bring the blind man to Jesus. And when they bring the blind man to Jesus, the text begins to let us know something profound, Bishop Man. It tells us that when they bring the blind man to Jesus, that Jesus begins to function in his purpose by executing process. God is quiet. I'm going to say it one more time. They bring the blind man to Jesus, and when they bring the blind man to Jesus, Jesus begins to function in his purpose, by executing process. How does he function in his purpose by executing process? I'm so very glad you asked me. The first thing that Jesus does is he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out the city. Y'all missed it one more time. I'm going to say, they bring the blind man to Jesus. And when they bring the blind man to Jesus, Jesus makes a decision to function in process, a function in his purpose by executing process. How did he function in his purpose by executing process? The Bible says that the first thing that he does is that he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out the city. Okay, I got to make it visual. Come here, man of God. Come here, man of God. Come here. I got to make this thing visual because some of y'all ain't seeing it. Some of y'all ain't seeing it. Some of y'all ain't seeing it. I need you to stand here for me for a minute. Now, let me be honest with you. Let me be honest with you. You are going to be up here the entire message. You're going to be up here the entire message that you are not going anywhere. I know you did not volunteer, but I volunteered you for a specific reason. So walk with me now. Walk with me now. Let me see something. Yep, I got the right one. I got the right one. Okay. Listen. He's blind. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was unable to forecast his own future. Y'all slow. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. Y'all still didn't get it. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was inhaling and exhaling, but he was not living. Because without vision, people perish. So when they bring the blind man to Jesus, the first thing Jesus does is he reaches out, takes him by the hand, and leads him out the city. Y'all missed it. One more time. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was breathing but not living. Because without vision, people perish. And the text says that the first thing Jesus does, reaches out, takes him by the hand, leads him out of the city. Y'all missed it. I saw it go past you. When I begin to read the text, I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man about his condition. I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man what he was dealing with. I don't see nowhere in the text where Jesus asked the man what he was going through. All I see is that when they brought the blind man to Jesus, Jesus did one thing. He reached for him. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so very glad that when my life was a mess, that Jesus didn't ask me a whole lot of questions, but he loved me enough to reach for me. When I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, I was stained within, sinking to rise over, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters. He reached and lifted me. Just cut somebody and say, he reached for me. When my life was jacked up, he reached for me. And I need you to understand, that's the reason why you're here this morning. You're not here because you had it all together, but you're here because he loved you enough to reach and pull you out of some stuff. So watch this. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind because of his inability to see. He was living, but he was breathing, but he was not living. Because without vision, people perish. He was blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. And the text declares that Jesus decides to reach for him and take him out the city. Now, I got to pause here for a minute because I don't see nowhere in the text, Bishop Van, where the man begins to resist his leading. I don't see nowhere in the text where the man began to ask Jesus, where are you taking me? I don't see nowhere in the text when the man begins to ask Jesus, what are you doing with me? All I see is by his actions, him saying, wherever you lead me, I would just straight up follow. And that's what God's trying to get some of y'all. He's trying to get you to stop asking questions. And he's trying to get you to a place where you trust wherever he's trying to take you. You're just going to go where he's trying to take you to pack. The text says that he leads him out the city. Now here's my problem. Here's my problem. I promise you, I'm a teacher preacher. Y'all get me to it. I'll get you in a minute. Here's my problem. My problem was not that he led him out of the city. My problem is what he led him out of. Okay, I'm trying to get y'all to see this. There's some things that he led him out of that I think that we need to examine for a moment. What did he lead him out of, Bishop? I'm so glad you asked me. The first thing that you would note and notice is that when Jesus took him out of the city, the first thing he did was he removed him from his comfort zone. Whenever God is trying to adjust you, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to take you out of your comfortable space. Let me walk slow, because if you know anything about blind individuals, you will know to notice that a blind individual has to be in comfortable surroundings in order to navigate. Because if they find themselves in an uncomfortable surrounding trying to navigate, what will end up happening is they'll end up bumping into things. And not only will they end up bumping into things, but they will end up having some self-inflicted wounds. God is quiet in this Presbyterian church. That's why when you blind, you got to know that it's 24 upstairs. At 24 steps, you got to go up the stairs to the right in order to get your bedroom. You got to know that the kitchen is 25 steps to the left. When you blind, you got to know where everything is. Why? Because if you don't know where everything is, you end up bumping into stuff and having some self-inflicted wounds. And see, that's the reason why some of y'all are messed up now. Because in your blind state, you tried to navigate in this thing called life. And then you begin to bump into things and hurt yourself and try to blame everybody else for the stuff that you hurt yourself with. They told you that Negro wasn't no good. They told you that he didn't take care of the other baby mama. But you were so in love, blinded by love, you end up bumping into that joker, and your life has been a mess ever since the tax. Shows us number one, that he let him out of, mother, he let him out of that which was comfortable. But the second thing that happens, and I promise y'all, I'm going to get to your song in a minute, I promise you. The second thing that happens is that not only did he lead him out of his comfort zone, Bishop Man, but the second thing he did is he removed him from people that he thought he needed to thrive and survive. Y'all don't want to help me preach this morning. Touch somebody, look him in the face, say, I love you, but I don't need you. See, some of y'all missed that whole principle because I don't need you because I love you. I love you, but I don't need you. In other words, if you walk off and leave me, I'm still going to survive. Why? Because as long as I got King Jesus, I don't... Just touch somebody and tell them, I got the right one, baby. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch your doggone neighbor and tell them, say, you might walk off and leave me. You might dismiss me. You might stab me in my back, but he made me a promise that he would never leave me, nor will he forsake. I got a God. So hear me. Number one, when he led him out of the city, catch this, he removed him from that which was comfortable. And he took him away from people that he thought he needed to thrive and survive. So he gets him outside the city. Mind you, he's blind. And because of his inability to see, he could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was relying on people that did not have the power to deliver him. He's blind. Because of his inability to see, he was breathing, but he was not living, because without vision, people perish. He leads him out of the city, and he puts him out in the middle of nowhere. Catch this, First Lady. What's so mind-blowing is that he takes him out of his comfort zone, puts him in an isolated place, but he infuses himself in his isolated space. I know y'all thought y'all was going to get a concert this morning. I'm going to say it again. He takes him out of the city and puts him in an isolated place. But then he infuses himself in his isolated space. In other words, he may have been alone, but he was not alone. Okay, y'all missed it. I saw it go past you. See, some of y'all thought that when God isolates you, that he's just taking you away from people that you thought you needed. But what God is trying to get you to understand, that even when you by yourself, you're not by yourself. Stop walking around here talking about you don't have no friends in this world. You don't need a friend in this world. You need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And as long as you got Jesus, you're going to make it. Just touch your neighbor right there and tell him, I'm going to make it through this. Oh, yeah, you need to touch him almost for the last time and tell him, say, I'm going to get through this, because he's already infused himself in my isolated space. Now, here is where stuff gets sticky. Because he removes him from his comfortable space. He puts him in an isolated place, infuses himself in his isolated space, but then he disrespects a man with a disability. Y'all need to read y'all Bible. It's in the text. Just read your Bible. The Bible says that Jesus gets him out in the middle of nowhere and makes a decision to spit in the man's face. I ain't going to spit on you, bro. I promise you. You all right? You all right? You all right, man of God? You from Detroit. You look like you're from the east side. I better not spit on you. I'm from Grand Rapids. I ain't got my gun with me today. I promise you. So catch this now. Jesus takes him out in the middle of nowhere, gets him out in an isolated place, infuses himself in his isolated space, and then makes a decision to disrespect him. Here's my problem. My problem is that Jesus disrespects a man with a disability. I wouldn't have had a problem if Jesus would have spit in the man's face while he could see. Because as Jesus prepares to the man could have at least got out the way. I would not have had a problem, family, if he would have spit in the man's face while he was with his crew. My bad, I thought I was at Lighthouse, forgive me. While he was with his people. Because if he'd have spit in his face while he was with his crew, his folk could have either pulled him out the way or they could have blocked it. But Jesus waited till he got him out in the middle of nowhere where he was trusting him totally and completely to spit in his face when he could not see it coming. Y'all missed it. Let me try one more time. Jesus didn't spit in the man's face when he could see it. Because if he'd have spit in the man's face when he could see it, he could have got out the way. He didn't spit in the man's face while he was still with his crew. Because his crew could have blocked it. They could have pulled him out the way. But he waited till he got him out in an isolated place and infused himself in his isolated space and decided to spit in his face when he couldn't see it coming. One more time. Y'all gonna get it in a minute. I wouldn't have had a problem if he'd have spit in the man's face where he could see it coming because the man could have got out the way. I wouldn't have had a problem if he'd have spit in the man's face when the man was with his crew because his crew could have blocked it. They could have pulled him out the way. But he waited until he got into his isolated place and infused himself in his isolated space in order to spit in the man's face, catch this, when he couldn't see it coming. Y'all missed it. Let me drop the bomb on you. See, that's what God's about to do in your life. He said, the reason why I didn't do it in front of your folks, he said, because they would have tried to block what I was trying to do. They would have tried to pull you out the way. He said, but he waited till he got you out of the middle of nowhere. Because what he wanted to do is he wanted to do something that was ridiculous. He wanted to do something that was obscene. He wanted to do something that was so crazy that once it hit you, you would tell everybody, I didn't even see that coming. That's what God's about to do in your life. He's about to hit you with some stuff that you ain't seen coming. But you ain't going to even worry about how crazy it is because your mentality is going to be, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. I wonder, is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that's ready for any way you bless me, bless it. God, it don't have to be special. It don't have to be great. It don't have to be wonderful. It can be nasty. It can be ridiculous. It can be obscene. But all I know is that when it's all said and done, I want what you got for me. Y'all looking at me crazy. Let me say it something like this. I'm in a position and I'm in a place now that I ain't going back and forth with you jokers. I'm trying to live my best life. And whatever God got to do for me to give my best life, do what you got to do to tap.
Hear me.
Hear me. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he had to rely on other people's favor in order to thrive and survive. He's blind. Because of his inability to see, He could not forecast his own future. He's blind. And because of his inability to see, he was breathing, but he was not living, because without vision, people begin to perish. So the text begins to say he leads him out the city, gets him out the city, and the Bible says that Jesus spits in his face, but then asked him a question. He said, "What do you see?" The text says that the man looked up. Y'all missed it. Am I right? If I'm not right in the Bible, tell me if I'm not right. The text says that when he spits in the man's face, that the man looked up. Y'all missed that, so I'll go past you. He spits in the man's face. The man looked up. Why is that so important? Because that would imply that there was no way possible that Jesus and the man were standing at the same level. If Jesus spits in the man's face and he looked up, that means that the man had to be in a different posture. If the man is in a different posture, that simply means that in order for him to look up, Jesus would have to change his shift and change his position. Spit in the man's face for the man to look up. And God sent me by here to tell you that if you want what I got, you got to humble yourself. And see, that's the reason why some of y'all ain't got your breakthrough. Because you're too busy trying to stay in the same position, thinking God's going to give you what he desire, what you desire. But touch your neighbor and say, humble yourself. Oh, you got to change your position. You got to get out of your flesh. You got to come out of your high-mindedness. Tell somebody, say, humble yourself. Bishop, I'm almost finished. I got to get to the airport. Let me just go. I just want to get through this, if I can. I'm going to sing their song, though. I got to get to their song. I really do. So the text says, the text says that he spits in the man's face. He lays hands on him. Y'all with me? And then he tells him, asks him, what do you see? Mother, the text says that he looked up and said, I see men in the streets walking. Now watch this. Here is my confusion. Biblical theologians and scholars say that the man's faith needed to be built up. That's why when he said, I see men in the streets walking, they're saying that his vision was literally, it was disturbed. His vision was not clear. They're saying that it was distorted. Theologians like Tillich say that it was distorted. Theologians like Brueggemann, they say it was distorted. Henry says it was distorted. Barnes says it was distorted. But I don't believe that his vision was distorted. I believe what Jesus did is that when he lays hands on him, he gave him too much. Y'all missed it, I see. How can you say that, Bishop? I can say that solely based upon when Jesus asked him, what did he see? He was extremely descriptive, First Lady, to what he saw. He didn't say, I think I see men. They possibly look like trees, and I think that's walking. It could be crawling. I'm not sure. But he was absolute in his diagnosis. He was absolute in his description. He said, I see men, and they look like trees, and they are walking. So if he said, I see men as trees walking, there could not be, if you will, in his mind and his eyes, it could not be distorted because he was too absolute in his description. So why do you believe, Bishop Marvin, that he saw what he saw and that it was not distorted? Because he says one word in the text that gives me a sign that his vision was not distorted. What is that one word he said in the text? He said the word tree. I'm about to deal with that. Because when you look at the word tree in Scripture, when it is attached to a man, it deals with that man being established. It deals with that man being rooted. It deals with that man being grounded. It deals with that man being strengthened. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So I believe very strongly, beloved brothers and sisters, that when Jesus lays hands on him the first time, that he releases revelation into his mind. He says, you've been blind for so long, but I need you to see who you are in the future. I don't need you to see the position that you've been in for years. I don't need you to see that you was co-mingling and being codependent upon people that don't have the power to deliver you. But once you get up from this situation, you're going to see yourself strengthened. You're going to see yourself established. You're going to see yourself rooted. You're going to see yourself grounded. I don't need you to see the pitiful you. I need you to get a revelation of who I'm about to make you out to be. And some of y'all need to understand that that's why God brought you here this morning. He said, I'm tired of you seeing yourself as less than. I need you to see yourself empowered. I need you to see yourself strengthened. I need you to see yourself strong to tax. The Klex declares that he spits in the man's face, lays hands on him, and asked him, what did he see? And he said, I see ministries walking. Now, I messed up. God, dog it. I done messed up. I forgot I was in a Baptist church. I got to give you all my 3 points. There's 3 touches in the text. The first touch was when he reached out and took him by the hand. That was a touch, if you will. It was a touch of compassion. Aren't you glad that God had compassion on you? When you should have been written off, he reached for you anyway. The second touch was a touch. I'm going to get you up in a minute. The second touch was a touch of revelation. He said, I need you to see who you are in the future. I don't need you to see who you are right now. I need to see who you are in the future. I need to give you a goal to reach for. I need to give you a zenith to go after. I need to give you a reason for living, because you just came out of some stuff that you wanted to die from. But I need to give you a reason to go on. But then there's a third touch, and the third touch ain't like the first touch, which was of compassion. It's not like the second touch, which was of revelation. But the third touch was a touch of adjustment to practicality. He said, now that I've shown you who you are to become, now I've got to adjust you so that you won't remain so spiritually minded that you know earthly good. I know you want to stay in the spirit realm because of what I showed you. But now I got to adjust you so that you can walk out or walk to what you see. Y'all missed us, I'll go past you. I need you to pursue it. God help me up in here. Touch somebody, tell them, say, now it's time to pursue it. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said, touch your neighbor and tell them, say, now that you see it, it's time to pursue it. It's not just going to happen, but you've got to make some effort. You've got to go after it. You've got to have a tenacity. You've got to have a mentality that I'm going to get to it by any means necessary. I wonder, is there anybody ready to go after it this morning? Touch somebody, say, I got to go get it. Third touch happens. He touches him, tells him, asks him again, what do you see? Text says he looks up again, and his vision was clear. Now, let me tell you, Bishop Van, and First Lady Van, that verse 22 through 25 was my opening statement. I didn't come to preach 20 through to 25. I came, though, to preach verse 26. Because 26 deals with something that many of us miss. 22 through 25 shows us how to get vision back. 26 shows us how to maintain it. Y'all understand maintenance, don't you? Maintenance. If you have a car, every 4,000, 3,000, 10,000 miles, you have to take it to get maintenance. If you have an apartment, you have to keep it clean. You maintenance it. If you have a house, you got to keep the grass cut. Flower beds clean, pulling the weeds You understand maintenance. If you have a weave, a full enclosure, you got to get them braids tightened up for the new growth. You understand maintenance. If you have one of those wigs, you've got to get it curled every night. You understand maintenance. You don't go you don't go to get a manicure once a year. You go every 2 weeks. You understand maintenance. You don't go get a pedicure once a year. You go to get the pedicure every couple weeks. You understand maintenance. I came to preach. 26. If you give me 5 minutes, I promise you, we'll be out of here. The text declares that Jesus gives the man his sight back. He adjusted his vision and his posture. And then after adjusting his vision and his posture, he gives him instructions. He says, go home. Y'all missed it. He said, go home. Y'all missed it. He says, go to your house. My problem, sis, is a very simple one. And if I couldn't read, I wouldn't have a problem with my problem. My problem is, how did he know where home was? He was blind. So how in the world would he know where home was? The only way that he could know where home was is because at some point in his life, he had to be able to see. And somehow, some way, in the vicissitudes of life, in the challenges of life, he lost his vision on the road of life. And I stopped by here to tell you that sometimes in life, you're going to be hit with stuff that's going to cause you to lose your vision. Sometimes you're going to be hit with stuff that's going to cause you not to see properly. But once God gives you back what you have lost, you need to make a decision to go back to the place of origin where you first received it. Touch your neighbor and tell him, go home. Some of y'all still looking at me. I said,
amen, 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 and amen. Again, God bless you. Thank you guys so much for listening into the Worldwide Gospel Connection on this morning. We're just excited about what God is doing in the Worldwide Gospel Connection's life. Those of y'all who would like to connect with us, you can do so by going to the Worldwide Gospel Connection webpage and connect with us through Messenger. Those of you all that would like to also come and to join us weekdays here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, do so by going to 563-999-3628. Those of you all that are listening in on the World Wide Web that would like to call in and be a part of the show. This is a live show, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, this is a live show. So we would love to have you come on and comment and ask questions, and we'll pray with you, encourage you, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis here at the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Now, those of you all who would like to sow, you could do so by going to your Cash App, your Zelle, or your PayPal. And those three ways of Cash App is going to be $ZABBAHOUSE, again, $ZABBAHOUSE. And then you could go to your PayPal, which is paypal.me/worldwidegc. Again, that's PayPal. .me/worldwidegc. Again, that is paypal.me/worldwidegc. You could go there. You could also go to your Zelle, which is 832-816-7997. Again, that's 832-816-7997. The gifts that you sow into the Worldwide Gospel Connection, know that those gifts that are sown, we use those gifts to edify the kingdom. We use those gifts to assist in ministry. We are pastors of the Abba House International. We take those seeds and we put those seeds into our homeless ministry and outreach ministry, where we go and we provide food for those that are less fortunate. And so we would like for you guys to be a part of that. Remember that when you sow into our field, that runs those seeds that you sow into our field, we take those seeds and sow them in other fields. And that's how you receive a harvest that you did not plant. Amen? So we look forward to you guys coming aboard and joining us and being a part of what we do here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection and as a part of the Outer House. Remember also, those of you who do not have a church home, let us pray for you. Father, we thank you for those that are under the sound of our voice, God, that who desire to have a relationship with you. We're going to give them our scripture, our overcoming scripture, which is Romans 10 and 9, that simply says this. It says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. So we thank God, Father God, for reaching out to those who are looking for a relationship with you, to pull them in closer, to give them the strength to stand and withstand in the midst of all that is going on in, around, and about their life. God, we thank you for your protective hands of grace and mercy that keeps them and protects them and watch over them. And we thank you in the mighty and rich name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen and amen. Now, remember, guys, you could come, and those of you all that are here in the Houston area, you could come and visit us at 5907 Eastland, that's in the Houston, Texas, and the zip is 77028. Again, that's 5907 Eastland Street, and that is in Houston, Texas, 77028. We look forward to you guys joining us and being a part of that service there at the Abba House. Remember, you guys that are need a church home, we would love to have you guys come and be a part of the Abba House. Remember, there is room for you at the house. We God bless you. We love you so much. We encourage you. We pray for you. We hope that all things work together for the good of them who love them, love him, and who is called according to your to his purpose. And remember, you have purpose. God bless you. Thank you. We love you, and we look forward to you guys joining us again next week. Be blessed. Join us this Thursday for our Women Day Thursday with none other than our pastor, Pastor Kashima Douglas, the pastor of the Abba House, where she stands by my side as my help meet my rib, the love of my life. We thank God for that. So you guys connect with us there as well. God bless you guys. You guys have a fantastic day.